Welcome to the Israel Daily News Podcast. I'm your host, Shanna Fold, and I'm here to get you caught up quickly. I've got some top news stories for you today from Israel, and guess what? You're listening, so you're already on top of your game. Survive and thrive, people. Knowledge is the best weapon. Today is Thursday, August 27th, 2026 in the Gregorian calendar, and the 14th of Elul, 5786 in the Hebrew calendar. Stay tuned for the end of the show where we have a Torah thought from our spiritual guide, Rabbi Yossi Madvig of Oswego, New York. Now, let's get to the news. There was a little bit of an internet scandal here in Israel. An official Israel Defense spokesperson's social media account posted a video advising Haredi, which is the Hebrew word for ultra-Orthodox, draft evaders on how to avoid arrest at Ben-Gurion Airport. The video was posted to the official Instagram account for Orthodox service members. The handle is at haredim.idf, and that is spelled H-A-R-E-D-I-M. Again, that's a Hebrew word. Thousands of Israelis are traveling to Oman, Ukraine, for the annual Rosh Hashanah pilgrimage. Rosh Hashanah is the head of the new year. It's the Jewish New Year celebration. The site is famous because it is where a very famous rabbi is buried, and a lot of Orthodox young men go to this site to pray for a strong new year. This year, many of those same pilgrims are actually not allowed to leave Israel because they are, with the new legislation here in Israel, officially in trouble with the law for evading the army and not showing up for their army service. Now, for many years, there was an exemption, and young men who are studying Torah, studying Bible in a serious way, were allowed to file for an exemption and get out of the army. That exemption is no more. In the video that was released, an AI-generated character called Dudi the Explainer. Dudi is a short for David here in Israel. This character tells the ultra-Orthodox men that they should report to the recruitment office before traveling to Oman, which apparently would allow them to avoid being detained at Ben-Gurion International Airport. It's not clear whether the IDF actually has a way to give people a special pass to leave the country and come back without being arrested or being summoned officially. After Army Radio reported about the incident and asked the IDF for further information, that post was deleted. By the way, there was a whole issue with Army Radio, and the government was trying to pull funding from Army Radio, and it looks like that's not going to move forward, which I personally think is great, because I think that any information, any media outlet, especially for young people in the army that needs certain funds, whether it be from the government or wherever, those funds are crucial and vital for information coming out, especially for young people that are trying to get their start. And there's been a lot of really important reporting coming out of Army Radio, including this. Just in case it wasn't clear, one way that you can be exposed for evading the draft is by swiping your passport in the airport. Think about it. If you get a call-up letter in your mailbox and ignore the letter, someone has to find you and get a hold of you. Now, if there's a warrant out for you, passport control can run your identification and hold you up in the airport, which is why many young men are avoiding leaving the country, because they are evading the army and they don't want to get stopped at the airport. IDF Chief of Staff Lieutenant General Eyal Zamir has ordered major troop reinforcements into the West Bank, or Judea and Samaria, depending on how you call it. And he's citing a multi-front volatility as tensions escalate on the ground there. Zamir specifically flagged the upcoming Jewish holidays as a potential flashpoint window and has an army headquarters ready for any issues that might come up in this territory, this disputed territory. This comes on top of an already tense summer in the West Bank. We told you last week about a disabled Palestinian man who says that he was beaten by settlers near Masafar Yatta, which is an area in the, which is a neighborhood in the West Bank. And we also highlighted fires that were set by Palestinians on Jewish settlement and the retaliation of those Jewish settlers standing outside of homes. There's been a lot going on. The IDF is essentially telling us to brace for more of that kind of friction heading into the fall, but they say that they are prepared to handle it. Israel is weighing whether to expel British officials from a U.S.-backed civil military coordination center that is located in Kiryat Gat. This is a response to reports that London is preparing to ban trade on goods from the West Bank settlements and roll out other sanctions over Israel's E1 settlement expansion plan. Now, the E1 is a long frozen Israeli settlement plan that is meant to build in the West Bank corridor between Jerusalem and Maale Adumim, which critics say would cut off East Jerusalem from the rest of the West Bank and kill the territorial contiguity needed for a future Palestinian state that would unite East Jerusalem and the West Bank. Jews are seeking to live there because they understand this land to be historically ancient to Israel, the historical ancient biblical heartland, and they don't want to lose the claim to the land. Also, it is less expensive to buy and build on that land, and it's also a lot more threatening and dangerous. So that's the trade-off for Jews who want to live there. Foreign Minister Gideon Sa'ar told his British counterpart, Foreign Secretary Ed Miliband, quote, "Israel cannot allow punitive measures to be taken against it without responding," end quote. This could become a campaign issue, for sure. Parties are working to attract voters ahead of the October 27th election. This could definitely be a part of it. One thing that a lot of people who don't know the region do is they try to make these sweeping bans against any goods or services coming out of the West Bank. What they don't realize is a lot of the times Palestinians are employed at these facilities, at these factories, at these sites. They don't realize sometimes that by banning goods and services from the West Bank, there's actually more collaboration than people realize. Sometimes Palestinians are actually working with Jews in factories, in the field. And so these sweeping rules, which Westerners think are going to help Palestinians, sometimes do the exact opposite. Speaking of the election, Yashar Party chair and retired IDF chief of staff Gadi Eisenkot, who's currently leading in the polls, said this week he considers the two-state solution, quote, delusional in a post-October 7th world. Now, I'll tell you that the polls, like there have been surveys, and Israelis are not talking about two-state solutions anymore. The October 7th massacre, which saw Hamas and other Palestinian terror factions blow over the border, murder 1,200 people, and take 250 hostage, that sort of killed the discussion about a two-state solution. It's not really on the table. So it's not so crazy to hear this front runner Gadi Eisenkot talk about this. In the same breath, however, he called the government's E1 settlement expansion that we just talked about a strategic mistake that is damaging Israel internationally. And he pointed a finger directly at ministers Bezalel Smotrich and Itamar Ben-Gvir, accusing these two of letting settler violence spiral out of the IDF's control. He says their activities, quote, sabotage Israel's national interests, end quote. We hosted one of the founding members of the Yashar Party at our ongoing election series through the nonprofit organization Tribe Tel Aviv, where I've been interviewing candidates in English for our international community here in Tel Aviv. Very important for the international community who definitely have a vote and are going to be using it to be able to understand the different parties, what they stand for, what their issues are, and to be able to understand it in English. So I've been organizing, booking, and also moderating those events. The IDF announced it killed two October 7th attackers in strikes on Gaza, both members of Hamas's elite Nukba force, which took part in the raid on the Re'im base in the south of Israel on October 7th. One had served as a bodyguard for former Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar, who is known for being the mastermind behind the October 7th massacre. There hasn't been any public reaction from hostage families or October 7th victims' families on these two specific terrorists who were removed. We are approaching the three-year mark for the October 7th massacre, which again killed 1,200 innocent Israelis and took 250 captive in Gaza, spurring the ongoing war that we are in today. Israel is still working through its list of October 7th perpetrators, one strike at a time. I do want to note that the Israel Daily News hosted young Tal Goldstein Almog in the Israel Daily News studio, where we report to you from today. He went on to the Erin Mullen show. She is an Australian broadcast journalist. She was actually fired from Sky News for having too much of a pro-Israel stance. She hosted this young man, 11 and a half years old, on her show. He spoke about surviving October 7th when he was just 8 years old. He watched his father and his sister get shot dead on the property on October 7th. He was then taken captive into Gaza by Hamas terrorists with his mother and two siblings. He was there for 51 days as a hostage until a deal broke him out of it and took him home to Israel. He opened up about all of that on her show, and we were very glad to host him in our intimate, quiet environment here in our Israel Daily News Tel Aviv studio. So if you're interested in that, we'll drop the link in our show details for you, and you can take a look at that. A jaw-dropping report is out about Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who secretly held direct talks with Hamas during the 2014 Gaza War, also known as Operation Protective Edge, apparently behind the backs of Israeli security heads. The talks did not follow the traditional diplomatic approach, but instead, they spoke directly with Israeli businessman Shlomi Fogel, serving as an intermediary. Fogel was sent by Netanyahu under the guidance of then Mossad chief Yossi Cohen. The officials spoke by phone for several weeks, with Netanyahu setting guidelines, Cohen shaping the messaging, and Fogel conducting the actual talks. Netanyahu also sent a security delegation to Egypt to conduct ceasefire talks through Egyptian mediators at that time. Those negotiations collapsed. No breakthrough was achieved. However, once that secret back channel was discovered, Netanyahu was confronted by senior defense officials, and they asked him for an explanation, which apparently he then denied the matter and instructed them to contact Fogel and ask him to stop what he was doing. However, Fogel has been acting with Netanyahu's authorization behind the backs of those defense establishment officials. And though Fogel got the message that the cat was out of the bag, he apparently continued to be in touch with Hamas anyway, even though he was asked not to be. Both Netanyahu's office and Fogel's representatives have denied all of these allegations outright. And now for some Israel Daily News updates. The Israel Daily News is running, for the first time, consistently, advertisements. So if you're noticing something new, please get excited with us. We are now, after 6 years, working with a company that is running some advertisements at the beginning and end of our show. In a couple of weeks, we might have some advertisements rolling through the middle. The Israel Daily News still runs on support from listeners like you, and we're just at the beginning of our advertising journey. So please do continue to contribute monthly or make a one-time donation directly through our website, israeldailynews.org. Your support helps keep our independent journalism alive and growing. You can also follow Israel Daily News across social media on Instagram, TikTok, X, and LinkedIn at israeldaily.news or Israel Podcast on X. You can also follow my personal page at Shanna Fold. My name has two N's in it, and I'm very sensitive about that. You'll find more personal stuff about what I'm doing in my day-to-day life on my personal account, and you'll find our news updates and video on israeldaily.news on Instagram. The season of gifting is upon us. Rosh Hashanah is just 2 weeks away, and it's happening on September 13th. If you are looking to send some honey from the Holy Land, now is your chance. Head over to the hasodstore.com for gift boxes, special experiences in Israel, and I have a list of my personal favorite treats for the holiday. I have those listed in the blog section with an Israel Daily News picture on it. Israel Daily News listeners get 10% off orders that are over $100 with the coupon code IDN10. Make sure you put in that IDN10 in your order when you're checking out to get that discount. That is Hasod Store, H-A-S-O-D, store.com. It's an Israeli company shipping Israeli goods from local people, local artists, to the U.S., to Israel, and to countries all around the world. Their shipping is top tier, I'll tell you that. And just now, that purchase that you make is going to support our work at the Israel Daily News. And we appreciate our Hasod partner for that. That's IDN10 for 10% off orders over $100 at hasodstore.com. Hasod starts with an H. And it means secret, by the way. That's the translation. Legendary country music star Dolly Parton died on Tuesday at the age of 80. Aside from her music, she devoted her life to helping others. In 1995, she launched the Imagination Library, giving books to kids who could not afford access to them. It started in rural Tennessee, where Dolly grew up in poverty. That program gifted free monthly books, which were shipped directly to the child's house. It reached over 300 million kids. That foundation became the blueprint for the Jewish founder of the PJ Library, which does the same thing and has reached more than 670,000 Jewish kids throughout more than 40 countries. PJ is for PJs because the idea was to read to kids in their pajamas at bedtime. In 2009, the PJ Library Foundation launched a sister program here in Israel. In partnership with the Israeli Ministry of Education, the books don't arrive by mail, but they come through the school system. Every month, some 350,000 children take a Hebrew language book home from preschool or elementary school in their backpack. It's called Sifriyat Pijama, or Pajama Library in English. The books are meant to be read together at home and then kept. Thank you, Toda Rabba, to Dolly Parton. You never know how an idea and the execution can not only make a direct impact on your intended audience, but inspire those in the periphery to do the same. And look at that. From Tennessee to Tel Aviv, Dolly Parton's vision has made reading a part of the program for so many children who wouldn't otherwise have had access to that. You might not know this, but there is a concept in Judaism called Tikkun Olam, and the idea is that each one of us should be repairing the world. And if you know about Dolly Parton, you know that there's a list of things she did to directly repair the world. Kol HaKavod, all the respect goes to the legendary Dolly Parton. Renowned Japanese artist Yayoi Kusama has died at the age of 97 from multiple organ failure in a Tokyo hospital. While her death was made public only on Thursday, August 27th, that's today, she died on August 14th. Her iconic polka dots, pumpkins, and infinity mirror rooms were put on display at the Tel Aviv Museum of Art in late 2021. And guess what? Israel Daily News was there to cover. Yes, we were. We highlighted it on social media and in our podcast 5 years ago in 2021. If you're able to see your screen, we have photos of this on the YouTube version and on Instagram and TikTok. The city of Tel Aviv's official Instagram account paid tribute to this legendary artist, saying, "Some artists create works that endure. Yayoi Kusama transformed the way we see the world. For more than 7 decades, she blurred the boundaries between art, space, and the viewer, transforming mirrors, dots, and infinity into a universal visual language. Her legacy will continue to live on in everyone who encountered her work and left with a renewed sense of wonder. That's the end of what the city posted. It is absolutely true. Her exhibit was so memorable in Tel Aviv. It was bright. It was bold. She was already in her 90s when she put this traveling exhibit together. She was 92 to be exact. I remember it really made a splash all over the world. People were posting pictures on Instagram. And what I found fascinating is that despite she was 92 years old when she made this traveling exhibit, she was able to reach young audiences through her art, which was so Instagrammable, social media friendly, modern. Everyone wanted to post a photo in her exhibit. I think that shows how she truly transcended time and space. True art reaches everyone, and not for nothing. 2021 was a tough year politically for Israel. Just months before her exhibit popped up, there had been an 11-day war between Israel and Hamas, and there was plenty of pro-Hamas sentiment in 2021 in New York, all around the world. I remember this so much. I was covering this in person in New York City. I saw violence roll out in the streets in front of the Israeli embassy. I was writing for the Israeli newspaper Haaretz at the time. I was their New York correspondent, and I was doing press for Israel from New York. And yet, despite the violence, Ms. Kusama did not pull her show. She did not give in to the pressure. She did not give in to the hate, and she did not give in to the naysayers. Her show went on right here in the Holy Land, and people were lining up out the door of the Tel Aviv Museum to get in. Rest in peace, Ms. Kusama. And now let's hear a Torah thought from Rabbi Yossi Madvig of Oswego, New York.
This week's Torah portion begins when you come into the land that God gives you as an inheritance. And the Haftorah describes the eternal possession of the land in the Messianic era. The prophet Isaiah tells us that while darkness will cover the land, God will be an eternal light for us. Darkness represents the ignorance and falsehood of the world. The natural darkness stems from the divine name Elohim, which has the numerical equivalent of nature, Hateva. But the Tetragrammaton, God's name of Yud, He, Vav, He, refers to God's transcendence of nature, because it's the integration of Hoya, Hoiva, Vayichya, He was, He is, and He will be altogether. And this is the name of God used by Isaiah when he says that God's light will be upon us. By learning God's Torah and doing his mitzvahs, his commandments, we rise above the darkness of the world and gain clarity to what's real and what's false, what's conducive to spiritual health and what's detrimental. He concludes the Haftorah by saying that when the Messiah comes, God will be an everlasting light. Again, this is the four-letter name of God, signifying the transcendence of time and space, an absolute infinity. The spiritual reality will be constant and infinite. This absolute infinity will be revealed in the Messianic era, specifically because of our performance of the mitzvot in the physical world, drawing down that transcendent divinity into the material world. We'll experience the infinity of time and space and consciousness while existing within the world in physical bodies. The difference between this and what's commonly called the afterlife or heaven, where the soul goes after this life on earth is over, is that the reward for the afterlife is primarily a result of our Torah learning. And that's different for everyone. Some have the ability to learn more and understand more, some have more time to learn, and others have less. So the spiritual reward depends on how much time and intelligence that a person devotes to Torah study. The world to come, which consists of the resurrection and eternal life in a purified world of open revelation of godliness, is a reward for the mitzvot that we do in this world, the commandments that we do. And in that, we all have the same obligation of observing God's commandments. So the reward that we receive in the world to come will be equal for everyone. The final words of the Haftorah represent the messianic paradox. He concludes, "In its time, I will hasten it." There is an appointed time for the redemption. as the Talmud and the Midrash and the Zohar tell us, it's at the end of the sixth millennium, right? The year 6000. Our purpose in exile is to reveal and elevate the latent sparks of spirituality, of divinity in the world. And our mere presence in the world will suffice by the year 6000 to eventually elevate those sparks. And we're about to enter the year 5727, this Rosh Hashanah, so we're almost there. However, if we work to proactively sanctify the world, then we can hasten the coming of Mashiach, of the Messiah, of the Messianic era. May it be speedily in our days. Shabbat Shalom.
All right. Well, that is it for today's show. Today is Thursday, August 27th, 2026. Tel Aviv has a high of 33 degrees Celsius and a low of 25. That's about 91 degrees Fahrenheit for the high and a low of 77. It's extremely hot in Tel Aviv, so please stay hydrated out there. We are everywhere. Don't forget to sign up to our Israel Weekly News Wrap, a newsletter with the top five stories coming out of Israel from throughout the week. Plus, a personal note from me at the top. You can sign up for that at israeldailynews.org. Scroll down to the bottom and drop your email address in. A big thank you goes out to our incredible sponsor, Marianne Vollinger, our writer, Perry Schwartz, who did a stand-up job on our culture stories today and brought forth that information about the Imagination Library reaching classrooms here in Israel, and of course, our associate producer, Lori May. We couldn't do it without you. Have a great and productive day and an excellent weekend. Shabbat Shalom, everyone.